Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Michigan Smart Trade Alliance has launched an education effort on smart, consistent trade policies. The Amway Riverbank Run has partnered with Equest Center for Therapeutic Riding. Consumers Energy has started operations of its Muskegon Solar Array. Mutually Inclusive debuts tomorrow night. And we talk about Pause with a Cause's prison training program. And we talk to the author of The Culting of America.
The Michigan Smart Trade Alliance, MISTA, a new nonpartisan statewide public policy organization, has announced it will lead an education effort in support of Michigan families and small businesses seeking smart, consistent trade policies. Let's take apart that introduction with you, John Selleck. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me here today.
Are quite welcome. You know I'm going to start with a bit of what is MISTA 101, if you would start there.
Sure thing. I think almost anybody, whether you work in a key industry or you're a consumer of key goods, has heard plenty about tariffs during the year 2025, and that's not changing. This year, we are seeing a lot of new tariffs be put on products that are coming into the U.S. and to Michigan that we buy and drink and eat and sit on every day. And we have a lot of tariffs that have been put up in response by other countries, which have limited the markets that our key industries here in Michigan and even in specifically in West Michigan can manufacture products, create jobs here in Michigan, and then send those products and sell them in other countries. That's all been, by and large, disrupted. And we heard a lot of conversation amongst consumers, but especially amongst business owners, job creators, manufacturers, agriculture, tourism, you name it, that have been affected by this, let alone our trading relationship, which we know from common sense, but also from polling that we did, that our trade relationship with Canada, which is so important, it covers our entire border to the east and to the north, is being disrupted as well. And we wanted to try to build MISTA, the Michigan Smart Trade Alliance, to try to create some kind of a nonpartisan slash bipartisan space for businesses to be able to calmly talk about the policy and how it's affecting them and therefore how it's affecting jobs and consumer prices.
So, again, yes, in summary, Michigan, you talking about the key trade-related topics, including tariffs and their effects on family and business budgets. Did you recently commission a statewide poll of, 600 registered Michigan voters? What happened here?
Yeah, we sure did. And what was so important to us is knowing that politics seeps into everything, and we have zero interest in politics because what we're trying to represent are the bottom line costs to consumers and the ability of our local manufacturers, our farmers, our tourism across West Michigan, obviously so key on the Lake Michigan shore and inland, that we pulled across the state of Michigan. And to follow that path of bipartisanship, we hired two national well-known pollsters, one from a strong Republican background and one from a strong Democratic background. And they worked together as a team at our request on this. And what they found is that Michigan residents aren't dumb. They are paying attention to the news. They know what tariffs are. They see tariffs as a tax on all goods that are being imported into the U.S. 72% of Michigan residents understand that right now. And 64%, so almost the same amount, feel that consumers are the ones that end up paying that tax. And if we've heard anything going back well into last year, but all the way back to the pandemic, is that costs, inflationary pressures on people's budgets at home are massive. It's the number one issue that shows up on all polling, including ours. 66% of all Michigan residents in our poll said that costs are the number one issue that they're facing right now. And they see that tariffs as a tax then turn around and become a new cost for consumers, not only for the goods that they buy, but a cost in their ability to have pay raises at work or even have a job. Therefore, it's not surprising that when we asked Michiganders how they felt about tariffs that are being put in place right now, only 43% approved and basically 50% opposed. And that was pretty consistent across independents, seniors, suburban voters, all well over 50% opposed tariffs because of the impact that they're having right now. And it's so important as we talk to folks in the business world who impacts every minute of our lives with jobs and costs and products they can produce. We're looking for consistent trade policy. Right now, they seem to be changing rapidly by the minute. We saw maybe back in November that tariffs that had been placed on things that we use every day, like coffee and bananas and avocados, orange juice, all got rolled back because of the price increases that were taking place. We can't plan around those things. Your local hotels, restaurants, let alone family budgets, can't make plans for their budgets when the cost of these key staple items are going up and down unpredictably all the time. We just saw yesterday basically that the president's administration is rolling back tariffs on pasta from Italy. Mm. It's that detailed that's going on here, and nobody can plan for that. And when we look at our agriculture industry, they are completely dependent both on the import and the export side, Shelley. They have to import key things like fertilizer to grow the crops that they're growing here in Michigan, and agriculture is a powerhouse, as you know, in our state. So they're getting hit on the import coming in, and then they're getting hit when they try to send the product back out, that other markets are raising their tariffs or refusing to take our products like corn, wheat, soybeans. Michigan wheat exports dropped 89% last year. That's breathtaking, the impacts that are having. And we just wanted to create a space with MISTA, which you can find out more about at smarttradealliance.com, a space for the business owners, folks making key decisions in our economy in West Michigan, that we could talk about this outside of the realm of politics. I think a lot of these people voted for President Trump. They're not against President Trump, but they want to find a way to calmly and in a non-political fashion be able to talk about these issues and how they're impacting them, so that maybe there can be a more consistent, fair trade policy going forward.
It's John Cilic with us on behalf of MISTA, again, talking all things Michigan Smart Trade Alliance. So the call to action is Michigan residents and small businesses can join MISTA, this nonpartisan coalition. How does that happen in closing?
Absolutely. First and foremost, just come to our website. It's called smarttradealliance.com. There you can find all the information about what I've talked about with you today, Shelley, and you can sign up to be part of our group and get updates as to what we're doing. We're going to be putting on public events as we go along here, and we want to be able to tell the stories of Michigan's consumers and members of our key economic sectors as we go forward. So we want to make connections with them. We're going to be appearing at many events like the Grand Rapids Chamber and Traverse Connect in Traverse City and West Coast Chamber over there in Holland and Grand Haven. We're going to be appearing in person at those events and talking to people about what they can do here. And we know in West Michigan, it's hitting the economy bad. Grand Valley's own data has shown that orders for new product inputs, production, and tariffs and rising costs are all forcing the economy backward compared to where it was over the last few years. And so we know without a doubt that tariffs are having a negative impact. We just want to be able to allow that discussion. So just visit us at smarttradealliance.com, and we look forward to talking to you.
Great. Thanks, John. Have a good day. The Amway Riverbank Run does happen in May, but now is the time to get to know the charity partners. We've been doing that, and it's finally time for the horse and more. Glad that you were here, Tracy Hickson, on behalf of the Amway Riverbank Run. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You've done that 25K.
Yeah, I have. I still have dreams about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, we'll just leave it that there because we don't want to scare anybody away. Sarah Mulder, I'll put you on a pedestal. Are you all about the horse and more?
Oh, of course. And we're all about the Amway Riverbank Run this year. We're so grateful to be a charity partner.
Good answer. Equest Center for Therapeutic Riding, doing good things. Tracy, tee us up with this opportunity to spotlight charity partners and do a little running or walking.
Yeah, you know, it's January, and I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people made New Year's resolutions. I know a big chunk of resolutions are probably around getting fit, getting healthy, getting active, living your best life. And there's no better way than signing up for the Amway Riverbank Run, challenging yourself for that second Saturday in May. And then while you're at it, one of the best parts of the race is the community involvement and the give back to the community. And everybody loves a kind of a win-win dual purpose, if you will. So with the Charity Partner Program, we're able to have organizations along this journey with us that are able to benefit as well. And that's why we love to have the program. The race was centered around community. It was centered about giving back to the community. And the charity program is just the example of that. So we're so glad to have Equest Center. Sarah's going to tell you about all the great things they're doing. And I know that when the runners go to sign up for the race and they see this organization and they see what value that they bring, they're going to want to sign up and they're going to want to donate and they're going to want to really run for a purpose.
Tell us about your center.
Yeah, so Equus Center for Therapeutic Riding is a nonprofit organization located in Rockford, Michigan. And our mission is to provide equine-assisted therapy programs to individuals living with disabilities. So we've actually been around since 1990. And over the past 36 years, we've had so many incredible opportunities to, you know, both to expand in so many ways. We actually started with 16 riders on 7 acres of land and just a handful of volunteers. And now we've grown to be one of the biggest centers in Michigan. We serve over 200 individuals living with disabilities each week on a farm that fills 35 acres. We have 34 therapy horses, a dedicated crew of over 120 volunteers that help with our programs every single week, and over 12 programs to meet each of our riders' unique needs.
What does a therapy horse do?
A therapy horse is just, I can't even begin to describe how.
The power of a horse.
Yes, it's so incredible. I mean, therapeutic riding has so many incredible benefits. The pelvic movement of a horse at a walk actually very closely mimics the pelvic movement of a human at a walk. So this is so great for kind of stimulating core muscles, improving flexibility, posture, mobility. And there's so many emotional and mental benefits as well. You know, it's not just bonding with this horse, bonding with the other people at the center, but it's also boosting confidence, self-esteem, improving communication skills, and just so much more.
Yes. And who is eligible to be a rider?
So anybody living with a disability, any sort of physical, emotional, mental, developmental disability, all of those riders, they can come out and receive all of the benefits that we have to offer.
And why did you take a chance at applying to be a charity partner with the Amway Riverbank Run?
Well, I mean, obviously, living in Grand Rapids, everyone knows about the Amway Riverbank Run. And Miranda is one of our board members and has just been such a huge advocate for us for the many, many years that she's been involved. And she actually recommended that we reach out to Tracy. And I'm so glad that she recommended that, because this has just been such a huge opportunity. And we have one of our miniature horses, Benny, who's been trotting around.
Will Benny be at the race in the back?
Oh, yes, he is. I actually just spoke with Tracy. Oh, she good. Thinks we can get him a running bib number, and he is for sure going to be there.
Well, we jest, but all are welcome. How's that? Just keep Benny at the back, kind of like the parades, because we know what happens at the front. And seeing a foot, well, you know where I'm going.
I know where I'm going.
And that's okay. It washes off. Tracy Hicks, and so how do charity partners work? In other words, are my dollars going to them when I sign up?
100% of your dollars are going straight to them. And that's what's great about the program, is it's 100% pass through. The race is really the vehicle to let these charities get a platform, gain some exposure. We have great partners in the media like yourself that are able for them to talk about what they do, reach a broader audience. And one of the goals of the Charity Partner Program is it doesn't end on May 9th. Being a charity partner doesn't end there. It has a long going effect. That charity should feel the gains from partnering with us much longer than that. In exposure, in membership, in community-wide spread, that's the goal. So the more that we're able to do for them, the more people we're able to expose them to, the more benefits they get. And in the end, the more benefits the community gets, which was the whole purpose of the race, was to be a community benefit.
Amway Riverbank Run, yes, your second Saturday in May. That's May 9th, to be sure. Support one of the charity partners. And today, Equest Center for Therapeutic Riding gets the thumbs up. Sarah Mulder in studio along with Tracy Hickson. So toot your horn again, Sarah. Are you having special activities throughout the year for those who do perhaps choose you?
Yeah, we have a lot of opportunities for those who choose to support Team eQuest. You can always visit our website to kind of learn more about how you can support Team eQuest. But there's so many different ways. You can donate. You can volunteer. We have our classes running year-round, so we are always looking for new volunteers to come out and help our riders stay safe, accomplish their goals, while also getting a leg up on your training yourself. You know, a lot of our riders, I mean, they walk close to like 5,000 steps while they're here at eQuest, just, you know, maybe for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really great thing.
Yes. Tracy, anything new or different about race day come May 9th? I know we're getting close to another big celebration.
You know, this is the 49th year that we're looking at. There's always something, you know, we're always fine tuning, as everything should be. But you know, we're going to ask people to look at our website at amwayriverbankrun.com. That's where you can sign up for the 5, the 10, the 25, the combo. You can walk. You can find out more about the charity partners. And our volunteer portal is now open. So it takes a village to put on an event of this size. So we also ask that, you know, if you're not able to run, there are lots of volunteer opportunities. We talked about having Benny. We're going to have Benny at our junior run on the Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We're going to have different things for different people. So we really encourage people to get involved in race week. It is an event for multiple days. So we know that there's an opportunity that can fit anybody, and we would love to have them volunteer. And if running's not their thing, come down and help us put on the show.
Yes, and I know your first Saturdays, you all meet at the Downtown Y to go out and train with each other. So it's all about camaraderie. All right, your final word on behalf of eQuest Center for Therapeutic Riding. Do you have a favorite horse, Sarah Mulder?
We have 34 therapy horses. It's hard to choose a favorite, but I'd have to say right now, Benny is just absolutely killing it training for the Amway Riverbank Run. He has these little shoes. He has a sweatband, little armbands. I mean, he looks truly adorable. So if anyone would like to come out and meet Benny at the center, please feel free to set up a tour with us. We'd love to meet you.
One more time, your best website?
www.equestcenter.org.
Thank you. Have fun. Hi to Benny. All right, Tracy, details one more time for how to be get involved.
AmwayRiverbankRun.com. It's your one-stop shop for registration, learning about our charity partners, and sign up to volunteer. But whatever you do, be a part of the event.
Great. Well, I'll see you at the Rise game next week.
You know you will. Go Rise.
Thank you, ladies. Here's your headline. Consumers Energy starts operating Muskegon Solar, helping meet Michigan's energy needs. You heard the tease this morning on our WGVU News. Let's get into the weeds, as they say. Brian Wheeler on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you for your reminder. Consumers Energy is Michigan's largest energy provider, so we speak when you request. And well, no sun today, but Muskegon Solar, I trust can still work. Brian, what's happening?
Yeah. You mentioned we're Michigan's largest energy provider. I guess it's safe to say we're getting a little bit larger. As you mentioned, Muskegon Solar at the Muskegon County Resource Recovery Facility is open for business. And what this is by far our largest solar project. We have other solar in West Michigan. You think about Western Michigan University, Grand Valley State University, Cadillac. There are all locations that have been in business for a few years now. But really, we're expanding our portfolio, our footprint. The idea is that Michigan continues to grow. We're going to need more energy to serve our growing state. And projects like this help that happen.
Yes. So how does the sun help with our energy?
Yeah, you know, we take, I guess like you can call it an all-of-the-above approach when it comes to energy. Ultimately, people just want to know they can flip the light switch, for example, right, and light turns on and things are good. But we have solar projects like the ones I mentioned and now Muskegon Solar. We also have wind projects, 5 of them across the state, 3 natural gas plants, the Ludington Pump Storage Facility, and all of that really goes into the mix. We've seen with solar that we believe we can continue to do more to serve our state. The cost of projects like this has come down, and they're more efficient than they used to be. So thank you, technology. When you think about, if you were to look at the Muskegon Solar Project in person and stay there for a few hours, you would see those panels, they pivot, they turn to face the direction of the sun. It's a simple innovation, but it's an effective one, so that from the moment the sun rises in the morning to when it goes down in the evening, those panels are able to capture the sun and generate electricity.
I jest, but if there's no sun, is there any work being done?
Yeah, that's a great question. Sure. Yeah. Well, even on cloudy days, there is some light that comes through, of course. We're not in pitch black surroundings. So, yeah, they're not as efficient, of course. But really, the technology has grown to the point where we're able to sort of squeeze every bit of energy out of these projects. There's other technology you're going to see at other locations we have where the panels not only capture the sun coming down from above, but they capture from below when it reflects off the ground. So you see those, you know, those snowy days we have and the white snow on the ground is reflecting the sun. Future projects are going to be able to capture the energy there. And that's part of what I talked about, the all of the above approach. We're not relying on solar to meet all of our needs. It's an important part of it because it is effective, it's cost effective. But when we don't have power being generated, certainly overnight when it's dark, you've got we've got natural gas plants that are in operation. You have battery storage where we're taking excess power that we generate during the day, plug it into big batteries, and then pump it back onto the grid at times that we need it. Things have changed a lot, and I think they're going to continue to change as we keep looking for ways that technology and efficiencies better serve our state.
Brian Wheeler with us on behalf of Consumers Energy, starting the operation of Muskegon Solar, helping meet Michigan's energy needs. And then when we say Muskegon Solar, are we talking that is the area of concern? Muskegon, are we talking Muskegon County? What's my geography here?
Your geography is spot on. It's in Muskegon County. Like I said, it's the county. It's called the Resource Recovery Facility. It's the wastewater treatment plant. They have excess land that they've been using for farming in the past, and we've had a great partnership, great collaboration to develop this project over the last few years. It's been in construction for over a year and a half, and just great collaboration all around. The power that comes from it, sometimes think, well, it must be going to the houses, you know, right down the street, and it does. But really, when you think about those electrons that get generated, and you know, I'm not going to try to do a high school physics lesson; I would do badly at that. But you know, the power that facilities like this generate really go out across the state, across those wires that we see crisscrossing our state and serving for Consumers Energy the whole Lower Peninsula. So whether it's in Muskegon or more solar projects we're developing, say near Jackson, near our hometown, or in Bay County where we used to have a coal plant that closed down, all that power sort of goes collectively into the grid to make sure that you don't have any interruptions or issues when you need it most.
Yes, we don't want to get too detailed because you'll trigger my physics anxiety, but it was good for me. The project is a testament to the skill and dedication of the local men and women building it, says your vice president in the construction group, Burns and McDonald, because, I mean, what, you needed 550,000 panels arranged in 5,200 rows?
Right, yeah, it's a big project, 1,900 acres, over 550,000 panels. And like I said, we broke ground in, I believe it was April of 2024, so a long construction period. We had somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 people who were involved in the construction. And as much as possible, these are people who, of course, live in Michigan already or, you know, committed to live here and work here for the duration of the project. That's dollars, hopefully, that, you know, the local economy realized the benefits of. And we talk about the local economy and benefits. I don't have the exact numbers, but I do know that a project like this, this is property that we're responsible for and we're generating tax revenue. So, you know, there's going to continue to be a benefit, not just to Consumers Energy customers who rely on electricity, but just having a good economically viable project right here in our community.
Well, we'll get back to a final comment when it comes to Operation Muskegon Solar, Brian. But as we move in this month of January, we'll expect more colder weather. Any helpful hints to keep our bills as low as we can?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I think we're already into January, but it's never too late. You know, if you've got the furnace at home and you haven't gotten it tuned up or serviced, I'd still recommend that because you want to make sure that your furnace is running efficiently. Change your filter in your furnace at least once a month, particularly if you have our furry friends, our pets that are, you know, sometimes clogging up the furnace with their fur. And always just think about, you know, how how much are you asking your home to do? How hard does it have to work to keep you warm on those cold days? If the sun is, and the sun is shining, the Skegon solar will be operating and generating electricity. But you can do something as simple as opening the blinds on your windows and letting the sun in to do its part to help heat up your home. Just be common sense. Think, what would grandma tell me to do? It's probably the right advice.
Get her latest recipe as well. All right. How can your community help with this operation of Muskegon Solar and beyond, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I would say if you're a customer of ours, whatever your relationship with us, consumersenergy.com, go online to, you can track your energy usage in real time. You can see this information that I'm talking about here. We have consumersenergy.com/winter to get tips and advice. If you can engage with us and your energy usage, you're going to find you can help keep your bills down and hopefully be part of a bright future for the state.
Save a dollar to spend a dollar. That's how it works. All right, Brian Wheeler, thank you very much. On behalf of this 1,900-acre project, the company's largest solar array right here in Muskegon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mutually inclusive debuts its 2026 season. Tomorrow night, hosts Kylie Ambu and Jennifer Moss explore Pause with the Cause's prison training program for service dogs. So, well, we're in the studio to discuss. Kylie, a pleasure. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It's so exciting to be here, like you said, here with Jennifer Moss and with Pause with the Cause's Chief Advancement Officer, Ashley Dirsch.
Yes. Hi, Jennifer.
And good morning to you, Shell. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Still miss you on Morning Edition. But you have expanded in more ways than one, and we appreciate our friendship and, of course, your talents. Ashley Dirsch, of course, with Pause with a Cause. We miss seeing Duncan with you, but we didn't want rain to affect Duncan's personality.
You know, it's a little wet and soggy, and wet dog smell is not my favorite.
But you are fostering, which is a need for Pause with the Cause. We'll get to that. But this is an important conversation that we are to have, Kylie, because you bring out another, venture that Pause with the Cause does. Set up our conversation. First of all, congratulations on the good work that you and Jennifer do with Mutually Inclusive.
Thank you so much. Yes, so Mutually Inclusive, you know, as always, is really trying to capture a heartbeat of our community to tell often underrepresented stories. And when our producer Melina pitched Pause with the Cause's prison training program, I think everybody in the room said, oh my goodness, yes, we have to do that. And so we had a wonderful opportunity to partner with Pause with a Cause, as well as the Muskegon County Correctional Facility. And our team actually got to bring a camera crew into the prison to watch one of the training classes. So basically, and I'm sure Ashley can get, you know, further into this, but Pause with a Cause, they train service animals for people in our community. And part of that training program is that after going from Razor Families, they head to a prison where inmates train them 24/7 and really kind of get them ready to serve in our community.
Well, before I go to you, Ashley, does this conversation fit into the theme of telling underrepresented stories that connect our community, Jennifer?
Absolutely, it does, because when you look at the underrepresented aspect of the prison population and them being able to be benefited by such a wonderful cause, the puppies benefit, of course, but it is a lot that is impactful to those who are in prison and what it can do for them and their being, and being able to have something to do while they're there. But it allows them to train, to be a part of something while they're there. And it gives them an impact in their heart and ability to, you know, move forward.
Yes. And Mutually Inclusive itself is now Get My Popcorn Ready on Wednesdays.
Absolutely. We are getting ready to kick off 2026, and we have a lot in store. We have not only the prison puppies, but we have black art. We have human trafficking, taking a dive into some things that are very deep and that will be very impactful. And human trafficking, for example, will be very kind of surprising for some in our community for where it is happening, and we take a deeper dive into that. And so that's something that not a uplifting story, but one that needs to be told. And again, those underrepresented are brought to the forefront, and help needs to be given to those.
Again, proven track record, you award Emmy Award winners. All right, Ashley, give me your 101s. Pause with a Cause, doing such good work and in the prison system.
Yeah, we're excited to partner with WGVU and the team here, because As a national organization who trains and raises puppies and turns them into assistance dogs for individual clients and or facility dogs for our community, all of our dogs go through our prison program. And currently we have about 406 active teams across the country. That's across 30 different states, not just right here in Michigan. But all of our dogs have spent time with one of our seven prison partners. And each dog has two inmate handlers that works on obedience training and helps them get ready for their next step in their career.
Wow. And, of course, this happens after one has fostered the puppy.
Yes. So our puppies start at 8 weeks and they go into a volunteer's home and they're raised by an individual or a family. Every dog is placed with a volunteer and they have them for about the first year of their life. And their job as a puppy raiser is just to teach them basic obedience, how to live in a home, what it's like to be loved, and what it's also like to just be a puppy before they go off to prison.
Yes. Carly, take us through again a tease of what we see tomorrow night.
Absolutely. So we get a lot of different viewpoints in this story, which we are very excited about. So we take you on a journey into the prison system, into the classes that these inmates are taking to become really trainers and handlers of these dogs. We hear from clients with Paws with a Cause who utilize these dogs in everyday life, as well as, of course, the people at Paws who make it happen. And I think what is so cool, like Jennifer was saying, with the power, I guess, with representation that we're able to bring, are these different viewpoints. I mean, people with disabilities who, you know, are a large sum of folks who are using service animals, they get a voice in here to kind of share their story as well. And then we are also zeroing in on what a lot of people don't get to see, which is life within the system. And if you are not somebody who has had someone you know or has been affected by the prison system, it can be really eye-opening to see just how much change this program is bringing to folks.
And what was your reaction seeing a prisoner and a dog work together?
Very, very cool. I felt almost bad because we had these cameras. They were so nice. They let us bring the cameras in, and these dogs were getting a little distracted. And it was, but it was a nice kind of humor for everybody involved to say, like, no, you know, get over here. Can we? Do you mind if we film you? You know, teaching them to sit or teaching them to do different, like under the chair or, you know, wait and stay. And the guys were just amazing. The two that we spoke to, their names are Robert and Ray. And you could just tell how much they love their dogs. It was very cool. Ray said that he thought his dog Fresca, he thought of her as a daughter. And that really kind of tugged at my heartstrings.
Yes. Do the prisoners pick their dogs, Ashley? How has the bonding initially begun?
Yeah. So our prison programs, our inmates turn them in, and then our dogs get to go. They're selected based on occupancy and availability. We split our male dogs and our female dogs up. And so I don't know if they get to actually select the dog that they get to work with, but there is definitely opportunity where they get to be a part of the process as far as how dogs are distributed within the group of inmates that's in that prison. I think to what Kylie was saying, some of the training with dogs and cameras is good. It's natural distraction training, and that's all things that our dogs are going to encounter in the real world with distractions on a regular basis. Anywhere they take our dogs in public, there's going to be things that they can see or do or experience. And so it's actually really good practice for our dogs and our handlers to be able to teach the dogs new maybe tasks or things that they might have to work around or experience in real life.
And yet, Kylie, as we mentioned, yes, a snuggly dog is fun to watch, but you also share a deep message with the show tomorrow, I trust.
Absolutely. I think dogs are, you know, West Michiganders, we all love our animals and our pets. And so I think dogs bring a sense of interest of, you know, lightheartedness to this story. But really, you get to hear journeys of, you know, two inmates who really found purpose in this program, who felt like they have an opportunity to give back to their community.
Great. Jennifer, again, your season starts tomorrow. While we find out more information, on WGVU?
Yes, we do. WGVU.org, WGVUnews.org, and you can also go to, YouTube as well.
Our YouTube channel hosts all of our videos for Mutually Inclusive. If you want to get a little catch-up, you can watch some of last season.
Absolutely. All are available.
Yes. Do you have a favorite you've done yet, Jennifer?
Oh, my.
I know that's like your favorite child, and we wouldn't want you to go there.
Well,
or maybe a past that's moved you that perhaps you would watch over.
Well, I would. There's so many that I would watch over, but some that stick out are maternal mortality, black hair, because I think they brought messages. I mean, again, that's not limited to those, but they brought messages that I think needed to be heard, and people didn't understand the numbers and the impact of various aspects of that black hair, people in employment situations being criticized or fired because of. So when we brought that to the forefront, and a lot of people were openly discussing what had happened in their lives, and people just don't understand those types of things. And so that's the whole point and purpose of Mutually Inclusive, is to bring those stories to the forefront of those underrepresented or people who may face a struggle that others are not aware of.
Thank you for that. Ashley, again, we are reminded that even though you're based in Wayland, that's your global base. You do affect all nationally.
Yes, we are in 30 states. We have clients all over the country, mostly east of the Mississippi. We also have a large population in Arizona.
A little warmer in Arizona for your animals now. And, of course, raise your hand to foster a puppy this year of 2026.
Yes, we have about 50 puppies coming in between now and the end of February. So if there's interest in becoming a raiser and you want to take a puppy home for a year, we would love for people to join us.
Do it, Jennifer.
Yes.
I'm just messing with you.
No pressure.
You couldn't see my eyes.
I know. All right, Kylie, wrap us up with tomorrow's edition and why we should care.
Well, I think that, Mune's tagline says it all, which is stories that connect us. So that's what we want to do in our community. We want stories about our community, for our community. And that's exactly what you get tomorrow. And so please tune in, WGVU. We will be on at 7:30 p.m. And this is just the beginning of our first season. You can catch us every Wednesday with a new topic at 7:30 p.m. on WGVU.
Great. And we'll be talking about it a couple times of the month to make sure that we are watching. Yes. Thanks to those on behalf of the Muskegon County Correctional Facility, Pause with the Cause, and you, Kylie, Jennifer, Ashley. Take care. Daniela Mestinek-Young on the line, co-authoring with Amy Reed. The book is The Culting of America. Subtitle, What Makes a Cult and Why We Love Them. Let's talk to you, Daniela, yourself, a cult survivor, U.S. Army veteran. Thank you for your service. Harvard-trained organizational psychologist. Of course, a couple books under your pen as well. Daniela, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Quite welcome. You're probably in a cult, you just don't know it yet, is a question I begin with. Tell us more about your work.
My work is meant to show that the tactics and techniques that cults use are all around us in America, and all kinds of groups are using them, and our culture is kind of full of this stuff. And I don't think it matters as much if you label something a cult as if you can understand the tactics and the coercion and manipulation that are being used on you.
Yes. Are most of us still picturing the robes, the chanting, the remote compounds, never thinking we'd ever fall for a cult, Daniela?
Absolutely, yes. I think that Americans are relatively unaware that cults can exist in a two-person relationship, in a single family, on the internet, or even just in everyday life, but it's not what the stereotype looks like.
Before we get into your work, The Culting of America, can you remind us of your title as a cult survivor?
Yeah, so I was born into the Children of God, which is the cult that is famous for using religious prostitution and pedophilia. It produced my fellow colleagues like Joaquin and River Phoenix and Rose McGowan. And I grew up all over the world being being trafficked by this cult and used as a child performer to make money for the organization. And I left when I was 15 years old and have been learning everything about cults since then.
Yes. How does one leave when they're 15?
You get yourself kicked out. Before I turned 16, at which point I was going to be an adult in a free love cult that didn't use birth control, and I knew that I needed to get away. So I broke a really big rule, which was having a boyfriend outside the cult. And also, my mother was born and raised in this cult and had me at 15. And so she encouraged me to get away as well.
More into your book, The Culting of America. So if I thrive in a boardroom, a group chat, a fitness class, a political rally, a religious group, or a corporate retreat, could that be a cult?
Absolutely.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
In my opinion, we don't have good cults, because cults really are groups that are coercing and manipulating you in order to exploit your labor. And I completely understand that people who run groups want that amount of dedication from their members. But the reality is, the amount of dedication that cult members give to a cult is absolutely unhealthy for the individual, and it's always going to harm the individual.
You have a chapter dedicated to the us versus them mentality. We are the best, down with all the rest. What's this about?
It is about the way that cults teach you that number one rule of a cult is we are the ones. In fact, choosing a name with the is very common. We are the right ones and everyone else is wrong. So we start this chapter looking at sororities and fraternities to bring people into that mindset. But we really get into America and our history going all the way back to the Puritans and our history with cults, but also with this us versus them sort of American exceptionalism that we have.
The Culting of America, what makes a cult and why we love them, Daniela Mestinek Young. All right, let's get more into, why we love them. And you even dedicate another chapter to trying to get out of them, such as I need to leave my my group, but my membership is on the riff. Tell me more.
Yes, ma'am. I think we love cults in part because in America, our individualism has kind of destroyed other natural forms of community. Capitalism has destroyed natural forms of community. And so many of us are looking for this evolutionary thing that humans desire, which is to live in a village and be surrounded by people that you know that love you and you can count on. And that is what cults really trade on. What happens when it's time to leave, you know, this chapter on exit costs, we call it a cost what to quit my membership, is you're always free to leave a cult, but you will lose absolutely everything. So you have paid entrance costs to get into this group, which often includes cutting very important people out of your life. And when you leave, you're going to lose everything, not just money, not just physical things, but your group, your connection, and even sometimes your certainty that you are doing life the right way.
You say in your acknowledgement that the book is the result of a lifetime of trying to understand the impossible, how groups change people, how people try to change the world through groups. I guess the final question is, what's the take-home message? I don't want to leave my boards because, we're helping others, but how do I avoid, this cultish, perhaps, negativity?
Yeah, so this is why, as an organizational psychologist, I realized I kind of didn't care about the groups. I cared about the individual. And so the takeaway from this whole book is to really show you these are the tactics that are being used. And if you can spot an individual tactic, why is this man who's your boss obsessed with all of the women wearing pantyhose to work, for example, right? Well, if you've read the book and you know that cults are always trying to control your underwear, you have the language to sort of think about this, understand why you feel that it might be concerning, and then either set boundaries or get yourself out of there. Because the reality is, any time in the space of personal transformation, any organization that you give a lot of your time and attention to, predators are going to show up. And so we're never going to get rid of predators. We're never going to get rid of all the bad groups. I just want to help people stop falling for the same tactics over and over again. And so that's kind of the so what of this book, is it will help you diagnose the groups that you're in. And ultimately, you won't have to give up being involved in all of these groups. You'll just be able to better navigate it without harm to yourself or others.
Thank you for doing the behind-the-scenes work on this, The Culting of America. Daniela, how do we find out more information?
So I can be found on almost all the social media channels. My username is Knitting Cult Lady, and my website is www.knittingcultlady.com. And I knit and talk about bad guys, and it's a wild time to be an expert on the bad guy.
And you're saying you knit, K-N-I-T?
Yes.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation, but that's a good thing.
Yep. I'm just always knitting, and it helps people listen to what I'm saying on these really heavy topics, and it's pretty fun.
Good. Having fun while you do good work, in addition to, again, sharing The Culting of America. All right, Daniela, please take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Oscar Wilde, you can never be overdressed or overeducated. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a good day.